We want to continue to grow and be more and more like Jesus each and every day. That's our heart. That's our vision in this church, is to be more like that, is to be followers of Jesus, devoted followers of Jesus in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is our motto, and that is what we live by. I want to speak this morning from, it's going to be Malachi 3:7. We're going to stand, we're going to say it together as a church. I probably won't touch it until the very end, even just for a moment, but this is kind of what I'd like it to talk about. So if you wouldn't mind rising, we're going to talk about the Word of God. And we always like to rise and talk and speak from the Word of God. We're going to recite it together, as this is going to be kind of something I want you to have in your mind as we go through the message today, Malachi 3:7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise that is so wonderful, that you're so good to us, and that you love us so much. As you know, I'm not afraid to speak about the current situations that are happening in our society. We've talked from topics to give a biblical perspective of things, from suicide, addiction, pornography, homosexuality, racism. We've talked about it all. We've talked about the problems of things, and we try to give biblical solutions and the Bible's answer, because the Bible has answers for all of the problems that are facing us in the world today. My job is not to get you to believe what I believe, but to make sure you know what you believe and you know why you believe it. That's because somebody on the news said it somewhere, or you read a funny quote someplace, but that you have it founded in the Scripture, founded in the Word of God, that you're living on something that's absolute, not something that's sinking sand. My job as a pastor is to not get you to agree with me. My job as a pastor is to get you to agree with God. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. Agree with God. What is God saying to you from this word that you can balance your life upon and say, I am doing this because of this right here. I am doing this in my life because of this right here. I am doing what I'm doing and living what I'm living because it's based upon the absolute word of God, upon the absolute truth of the Bible. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not doing the latest fad or the latest thing or the latest jig that's going on out there in the world today. I am dancing for the Lord. I am doing what He wants me to do. I want Him pleased with my life and lifestyle. Now again, I'm not doing that perfectly, and probably you aren't either, and that's why we continue to read the Word. My job, though, is to help you find out your beliefs, to make those beliefs not preferences but convictions. Because if all you live by preferences, preferences come and go and shift like shifting sand. Convictions are things that don't change. They don't move. It's a solid rock. It's founded on something that's permanent, that's lasting, that will be here forever. Not just the fad or the latest thing. I really struggled about this message because I'm really excited about next Sunday and as we move forward. And this one, the Lord wouldn't let me get by without preaching. I go, Lord, it's the very first Sunday. The students are back. You know, I'm a funny guy. I want to do funny things and, you know, enjoy this walk. And he goes, hey, who do you preach for? Are you preaching for you or are you preaching for me? And so hopefully I snuck a few fun things in here. But he knows that I'm just that kind of guy. But it's a little bit hard-hitting message. I pray that you will receive it. We need to know that, what is God's perspective? Not what is ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or Fox. What is God's perspective on life today? What's God's perspective? What does the Bible say about the hot buttons in our society today? What does the Bible say? Not the talking heads, not Washington, D.C., not everything that's going on. What does the Bible say about it? Because all of these solutions for man will not last. But the solution that comes from God is a lasting solution. It's a solution that takes us from here all the way to eternity. It is something that's tried and true and sure, and it's truth. The problem, as I said, I'm starting today a series entitled The Presence. I'm excited about it. I'm going to talk briefly about the problem in America today. And how we got there, that's going to be most of today. We'll end with a little bit, but I want to give an answer and then we're going to move on from there. The problem. I think the problem with all the pain, the hurt, the things that are happening today, the problem is we as a nation have wandered away from God. We as a nation have wandered away from God. Maybe it wasn't blatantly. Maybe it wasn't blatantly, but it was just a casual, well, they say that. They're a great poet and it makes a nice rhyme. I should live by that. We live by a rhyme? We live by a poet? We live by man's words? That's what God gave us, those words to live by. Today we are running from all sorts of things. We're running to all sorts of things. And we're in a tough situation. We're trying to solve it in our own ideologies. We've wandered away from God. Maybe it was casually, as I said, but casualness is the number one tool the enemy uses to deceive you. Casually. Casually. How do you cook a frog? You put him in cold water and turn on the heat, right? He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And we look, well, the stupid frog. Are we as stupid? Are we being heated up and slowly cooked by the ideologies of this world? Or are we standing on something that preserves our lives called the Word of God, whether we like everything it says or not? There are some things in here I have a hard time doing, but it's not up to me to go, no, I don't like that one. I'm going to rip that one out of my Bible. It's up to me to go, I've got to change. The Bible says, I'm the Lord. I change not. He doesn't change. He changes us. But you know what? And everything that I've embraced that's been difficult for me to embrace, when I embraced it, I felt better about who I was as a man living in the earth today. I felt better of myself as a Christian because I started to follow more and more of what it's saying. I'm not there yet. I'm not all the way there. But when push comes to shove, when issue comes against issue, I have to stand on this. I have to stand on the Word of God. You see, as a nation, we've wandered away from God. And when you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. When you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. This is full of His way. His life, His truth. This, when you stand on this, and I won't stand on it because when you stand on that, you are standing on something that will not let you down. You are standing on something that takes us all the way into eternity. The Bible is the truth. And when you wander away from truth, we've wandered away as a nation from God. And when you wander away from God, you wander from the truth. And when you wander away from the truth, you are susceptible to begin to believe the lies of the... Do you not understand the logic here? Do you not understand what our prince, cosmic creator, the devil of this world, the prince of the air, do you not understand what he is trying to do to get us to move away from truth, get away from truth, move further away from truth, and then we start believing lies? Why? Because I have nothing to compare it against. We start believing the lies. Romans 1:25 says this, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Catherine, what did I do with my mask? Oh, it's right. No, how did it disappear? Oh, how did it get down there? What the heck am I doing? I'm going to come down there. That's why I need to take this, because I'm scary without it.
probably scary with it.
It says here, who these people exchanged truth of God for the lie. They actually went there and go, oh, here, I'd like to exchange this for that. I'd like to exchange this for that. I'm going, how could anybody do that? Do I have anybody here? I need a new person. Because I usually give out candy and stuff like that to people who help me in the message. So I need a new person here who has some money. Because I need to borrow it. Does somebody have a $20 bill? Anybody new have a $20 bill? If you're new, it's just for, huh?
Debit card?
We take all forms of credit, Visa, MasterCard. We do take it all. Now, who has some, if you're new here, is your first time here today? If it's your first time here today and have some money, you have some? Okay, you have a 10? Okay, you got a 20?
Right there.
Oh, you got a 20. Okay, what's your name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, come on out here for a second, can you? We'll try to keep social distancing. So, Isaiah, you have a $20 bill. Let me see that. Can I see it? Awesome. Awesome. Everybody got that? Everybody see it? We got this? I like that. And here's what I'm going to do. Because I love you so much, I really enjoy you. Isaiah, right?
Yes.
What's your last name?
Hill.
Hill. Isaiah Hill. What? I mean, it sounds like you should be a track star. Something like that. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. You hold that. And what I'm going to do is, because I love you so much, I'm going to give you $40. I'm going to give you $40 for your $20.
In Monopoly money.
It's $40. Would you like to take that?
Is that legal tender?
That's a very good question. Sure it is. Sure, it's legal tender. You can buy lots of stuff with this. Would you like to exchange it? Are you sure you want to do that? I don't think I would. He asked a very important question. Is it legal tender? He asked, hey, is it truth? No, don't keep it out. I'm not done yet.
Oh. You might try to give me more money.
Hold your hand out there. I'm not going to give you 20. I'm going to give you 60. 80, 100. Will you do it for 100?
Nope.
All right. I'm going to give you the rest of those 20s, and I'm going to make it another 100, another 100, another 100. Will you do it now?
How much is this?
It's about $500.
No.
Believe me. No. How about another $500?
Wow.
And let me tell you, you can buy houses, you can buy hotels with all of that. You can't believe what you can buy. Boardwalk, Park Place. Where do you want to live? Where do you want to live? You want to live on free parking? Where do you want to live? I'm telling you, with that, you can buy houses, hotels, you can buy property. You can buy so many things with that. That will help you. Would you now exchange all of that? That's probably $2,000 for that 20. Why?
Because I really can't buy anything with it.
Why is that?
It's fake.
It's fake. All right. Can I have that back?
Would you like the 20 as well?
Can I have that? No. Do we have something for him? How about a frap? Are you a frap drinker?
I'm not a frap drinker.
Anybody here a frap drinker? Anybody want a frap? Is it Heidi?
Heather.
Heidi. Heather, come on up here. Grab a frap. We want to make sure everybody is properly caffeinated. Anybody else want one? Anybody want one? Everybody's good? Oh, right back over there. Grab one over there. All right. Now, it's very interesting. I told him a lot of things what he could do with this money. But you know what he told me? This is fake, and he wouldn't let go of it. The problem is that's not what's happening in our world today. There are people coming and trying to sell a bill of goods with things that are fake, and we are exchanging truth. We are exchanging truth, what we have, what we own, what we value, and we're giving it away because they're giving us a bigger lie. We are exchanging our truth because the world today is speaking a bigger lie. And we're believing it. Now, the reason that he probably didn't take this, he's probably played Monopoly before, but he realized this doesn't look like, smell like, act like, it's not like what I have. But today it doesn't seem to matter. What we have as a foundation doesn't seem to matter as we're moving forward, because we're selling out truth like it's going out of style, and people are buying it all over the world. We've strayed from this. You know, if I was in the dark and then I told him I'm going to exchange that and he couldn't see this, he might even do it then, because it gets darker. The darker it gets, the more we believe lies, because we can't see it against the truth, especially if we've left the truth and we haven't opened up the truth for a while. You see, this book is offensive. This book is not politically correct. This book is spiritually correct. Do we want to live in a spiritually correct world or a politically correct world? At last time I heard, politics had to do with man, but the spirit had to do with God. Where are we living? What are we doing? Wandering away from truth, exchanging truth for a lie. How does it happen? When you get further away from God, you get further away from truth, because you get further away from the Word of God. The Bible is the absolute truth. The further away we get from that, the further away we get from God, harder it is to hear when all of a sudden we're in the back alley and they're making a deal with us, to hear God go, "Whoa, what are you doing?" Instead, we can't hear the whoa. We can't hear the stop. My friends are doing it. Everybody else says that. I heard the poem and it says that this is good. I saw something on Twitter. I saw something on Snapchat. I saw something on Facebook. I saw a cute little quote. I'm going, I don't care what quote you saw, how pretty the picture was, how interesting the dynamics were of it. Does it line up with this? If it doesn't, it's a fake. It's a fake. It's a forgery. Hebrews 4:12, talking about the power of the gospel. You see, the enemy, the demonic forces of the enemy, will do anything to get you to quit reading this, because he'll get you away from truth, because this is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You can't BS the Bible. You can't make it, "Oh, you know, I'm just..." No, you can't do that to God. You see, it cuts right to the quick. He knows right what you're doing. "Oh, I was just going out because I was in, and I was my buddy, and I was going..." And the Bible goes, boom, that's a bunch of... You make it up. The Bible cuts through lies, even your own. It's cut through my own lies. How do you think we change? How do you think we grow? How do you think we become more like Christ? It's because the Bible cuts the lies that we live in our life. It exposes the lies to the light. And all of a sudden, we start walking in light and start moving away from darkness. We start believing truth and we start discrediting the lies that the enemy is speaking to us. We need the Word of God to guide what we're doing, what we're saying, and how we're living. But as a nation, we've wandered from God. Wandered from His Word for years. We asked God to leave our schools because we didn't want to pray to Him anymore, because we might offend somebody. We might offend a child. We don't care about offending God, but we do care about offending a child with a lie, with not the truth. Well, doesn't He have the right... Who put us on this planet? Who made this planet? Who designed it and made it spectacularly and wondrously and magnificent and all the things that are in it, and then decided to put us on it
And then decided to give us breath so we could live. And then each and every day, he says, I give him some more breath. Give him some more air. Give him some more air. Give him some more air. Let him keep living. Who you think gives that to us? It's called God, our creator. But we care more about offending a little boy than we do about offending our God. And maybe, instead of worrying about offending a boy, maybe we could save a boy with the gospel that will assure him eternity in heaven. I know I'm not politically correct. I get it. But what about being spiritually correct? How about biblically correct? Today we care more about being politically correct than spiritually correct or biblically correct. God got the idea though. Through our neglect, through our apathy, he took the hint. He's leaving. He's not welcomed. He doesn't just come and he's a gentleman. He's not welcome. He's leaving. We wanted our own ways, not his. We want our own values, not his. We want our own truth, which honestly are lies, not his. We want to live our selfish, independent, godless, and amoral lives. God says, okay. As Americans, it seems like we want to live our lives with convenience, not conviction. We want selfishness, not sanctification. We want pleasure, not his presence. So God is giving us what we wanted. He's giving us a taste, I think, today. He's giving us a taste of a life, of a nation, of a world without him. How do you like it? How do you like it when you drive down the streets of Seattle or Portland or New York? How do you like all the injustices that are happening? How do you like all the violence, lawlessness? And he's given us a taste. Oh, you don't want me? Okay, I can back up. I cannot protect you. It's so sad because this nation and its roots are founded upon Christian truth, Christian values, and Christian ideals. That's how we became a nation. It practiced Christianity on a daily basis and gave thanks to God for its inception and its divinely inspired governmental structure. We gave thanks to God. I remember standing in the public schools with my hand over my heart, pledging allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America with proud, my heart, my chest pumped out, the United States of America and to the Republic. Not a Marxist socialist ideology, but to the republic that we were standing upon. A divinely inspired way of governing from God. To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under who? God. Under God. We understood that what made America great was the God who was governing in it. Was the God who was in heaven going, that's my people, that's my nation. I love them because they love me. With indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But some wanted God out of it and felt that it made them feel uncomfortable, so they didn't want to say it. They don't have to say it. It's not politically correct. I thank God for the schools out there that do say the Pledge of Allegiance. Not everybody does. Thank God for Pullman Christian School that stands upon Christian values and pledges to the flag, to God, to the Bible. We used to sing songs in school like, God bless America. Oops, oh, we don't want God in America. One school I was reading about just recently, they recited the pledge and afterwards, so God bless America, and they made them quit saying God bless America. You can't say that. Bobby over here doesn't like it. God bless America, land that I love this land. I love America. Stand, we're saying, God,
God, stand beside her. God, God, guide her. Through the night with the light from above. But we've lost the desire to be guided with light. It seems that darkness fills everything now. The light from above, darkness, lawlessness is leading us. The mountains, to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. We sang it and we meant it. We sang it with pride. It offends some people. We sang, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Thank God for the Palouse. For purple mountains, majesty. Thank God for the Rockies. Above the fruited plain, America, America. Say it with me. God shed His grace on thee. How do you think we became to be the number one power in the world? Because we're so smart? Because we're so great? It's because we had a nation that bowed its knee to its creator, and God said, I like that. Amen. He is protecting us. He is guiding us. He was His love was there. I'm just saying, what's happening? That's how we became great. By God's grace, by God's inclusion in our values and our morality. The morality of the Bible became our morality, and that's what made America great. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. God's values were our values. God's word was what we lived by. It was what we valued. God's moral conduct, His written code of conduct, His moral written code of conduct in the Bible was our nation's moral code of conduct. But not today. We as a nation have wandered off and have strayed far from the values and morality found in the Word of God. We've lost our fixed point. We've lost the absolutes of the Word of God. We're adrift. We're just adrift with nothing that ties us to anything. Well, I think we ought to, what we should do, no, it isn't. This party says that, this party says that, and everybody's over here, and we're fighting here, and we're looting there, and we're destroying here, we're doing all that. Nothing grounded anywhere in something that's absolute or truth. Generation Z is the first generation in American history that a majority does not identify with being Christian. A lot of you here are in the Z generation. Do you realize that over 50% of your mates, 50% of your population do not believe the Bible, do not believe in God? Do you know that Generation Z has twice as many atheists as the rest of our population? Generation Z has twice as many atheists as the rest of our population. Thank God for you, Gen Z, who are sitting here willing to hear the Word of God, willing to make a difference in life, willing to set some values and some principles, willing to let God change you from the inside out, willing to take a stand for God and to speak into the darkness. I applaud you. I applaud you. I believe God is using the pandemic and the trials and the unrest that face us today to get the attention of every human being on the planet. He did, including all of us Christians. The answer isn't found in them. The answer is found in us helping them understand truth. Are we listening to what God is saying to us? It's interesting. I had a dream a few nights ago, and in this dream I was like evangelizing. I don't know who it was, I just remember what I had said. And in the thing I was saying, what do you think God is up to in all of this that's happening? As the opening line. And I just felt like He gave me that, and I woke up and I felt like, wow, that's a great line to open up with somebody.
What do you think God's doing today? What do you think's happening? Why do you think all this is happening? Why do you think God's allowing or doing or whatever all of this? And then see what they say. They're going to say something. They got something to say. And then I felt like the Lord gave me two reasons. What is God doing today? Number one, He's giving us a warning. He's giving us a warning. A taste of what it's like for His presence to leave America. And number two, I believe He's calling us back to Himself. I believe God is calling us back to Himself. Return to me, and I will return to you. He's a gentleman. He's not going to overrun your life. Hey, Lord, I don't want to. Fine. Experience life without me. Experience life without me. Do you like the law? Do you like all that that's going on without me in sin? Maybe we'd get a clue to ask Him to come back. All I could think about, come back. What was that? The Titanic? The girl, come back. And she starts off just, come back, come back, come back, come back. And then she just, come back, come back. She gets the whistle and she starts blowing, come back, come back. We have to be careful, though, of who you follow. We have to be careful that we don't just sign on to something due to a brief look at its name. We shouldn't blindly align ourselves to an organization, agenda, a side of the proverbial aisle, or a candidate because we must understand what the agenda is, what's going on, what are the values, where it's out there, what's underlying here. Not just, hey, what do you really stand for? Do you stand for this? The values of this? Then I'm behind you. Do you not stand for the values of this? Then I don't care how great it looks. It's still a $20 monopoly bill to me. I don't care how great it looks. It's still a $100 monopoly bill to me. I don't care how wonderful it's disguised. It's still a $500 monopoly bill to me. We have to make God's agenda our agenda, or we'll end up at odds with each other. As a Christian, and you know, I'm against any oppression or injustice to black people or any other nationalities. Our church is made up of a multitude of nationalities. I love it. I love it. I love it, because that's what heaven's going to be like. Not just a multitude of nationalities, but a multitude of age. We got people here now. Our older people aren't here because they're a little compromised. Our younger people and with families and stuff, they're a little worried about the nurseries and that. But we're going to get all that going back together. You're the bold ones here today. But I'm saying this, that we got them from zero all the way to 90-something here. And you know what? I love it. I love it. Well, shouldn't you have a service for the old people and then one for the young? I go, why? We're all going to be together in heaven. Amen. The young people always say, turn it up. The old people say, turn it down. But they're starting to say it less and less. Just do what you want. Let's just praise God. Amen. The old people are saying, hey, we need young people. The young people are saying, hey, we're glad for old people. They take us out to dinner and pay for stuff. Thank God for old people. Black people, nationalities matter to me, to this church, to our people greatly. Our church is multicultural. Did a message just about here a little while ago on racism, calling it sin. Got to preach with Amir, and it was awesome. But let me say this, and please hear me carefully. But the organization... The organization called Black Lives Matter is a difficult organization for me to get behind. Because when you look at the values and what it's based upon this. It's based upon an anti-biblical, anti-godly, Marxist socialist agenda and ideology. I will stand behind black people. I'll march with them. I'll do all of that. I want justice. But I can't stand behind something that masquerades, because it's not built on truth. It's built on something different. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody here, please. The three organizers of and co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement say we actually do have an ideology frame. We are trained Marxists. That's in their publication. I swore allegiance to a republic, not to a Marxist socialistic government. That's what I'm at. Now, don't misunderstand me again. Don't misquote me. Black lives matter to me. Black people matter to me. I am with them in their plight. But the organization opposes what is taught in the Bible as truth. And their end game is not just to see that black lives matter, and they do, but to use the movement of some very real injustices that are in the earth today, very real injustices in the earth today that need to be solved, but to use that to see all amoral values propagated in the same fashion. I can't stand behind that. Read their webpage if you want. I'm just saying I can't stand behind some of the things that are against the Bible in here. I'll happy to do whatever. I'm happy to march. I'm happy to be with them. I'm happy in all that area. I'll stand up. I'll defend. I'll speak. Racism is sin. But I'm asking you as people, make sure whatever you tie on to, make sure it is tied on to this. That's all I'm asking. Christians can and should stand up against injustice. In fact, God says of himself, "For I, the Lord, love justice," but we should be careful not to stand behind an organization that opposes God and his righteous standards. All right. I also think that the peaceable protest guaranteed under our Constitution is the beauty of what makes America, America. Thank God we can say, "I don't agree." We can stand on the lawn in Washington and we can say something. Thank God our nation was smart enough to put that in the First Amendment. God loves justice. But we should be careful not to stand behind the organization that opposes God. Excuse me. But the destructive looting, vandalizing, terror, and lawlessness that has happened on both sides, on everything that's happening here. I'm not blaming any side here. I'm just blaming the lawlessness that has happened is a tragedy. Many innocent people are getting hurt. It's increasing the fear in our nation. The increase in crime and murder in our inner cities is alarming, and I don't think that the answer is to defund the very people that we call when we are in desperate need and in the middle of an emergency. Do reforms need to happen? Yes! Exclamation mark. Yes! 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 We need to reform. We need to get the bad apples out. We need to do that which is godly and right. I'm all for that. But it needs to happen in a civil way, not a lawless one. In 2 Thessalonians, as I wrap this up, it says this, speaking of the end times, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You see, lawlessness is not God's way. Lawlessness is the working of Satan. It says it right there. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of, say it with me, Satan. What I admire so much about Martin Luther King Jr. was his godly and peaceable approach to seeing reform, to seeing change, to seeing justice. What I admire about Jesus Christ was his peaceable way of seeing reform and changing a world
Not with anarchy, not with lawlessness, not with a takeover, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking righteousness. People standing up, believing this, walking out these principles. This is what changes our life. This is what changes us. The answer is not going to be found in Washington, D.C. Our Savior is not a politician. Our Savior is not a man. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. And He alone is what will change America. My answer here at the very end as we conclude, we need an America, what we need in America is a visitation from God. We need the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit. If you wouldn't mind, as I said, return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to pray, end this in prayer. God, we need you. We need you in America. We don't want to live without you, Lord. We don't want to be a nation that runs away from God. We don't want to be an amoral, a-Christian, post-Christian society. We want you back, Lord. Forgive us as a nation in running you off. Forgive us as a nation of flamboyantly running into sin in our own way. Forgive us, Lord. Revive us as Christians, Lord. Revive us that we might stand up and speak the truth. That we might stand up and show love to our neighbor. We might stand up and help those in need. That we might do what you would do in this hour, Lord. Pour out your presence, please. And lead us. Guide us through the night with the light from above. God, we love you. We need you. We want you. Please move on the hearts of Americans. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll get into the active presence of the Lord and what it does in our lives. Thank you. God bless you. I love you guys very, very much.